Good morning, everybody. I hope you'll bear with me for just a moment while I use myself as an example to make an impact, hopefully. I have an intense, deep, extreme, all-consuming, profound, impassioned gratitude for Jenny. For her unconditional love, for her sacrifices, for me, and for our family, for her kindness, for her trustworthiness, for her companionship. And as a result of that, I never want to hurt her or disappoint her. On a different level, but still remarkably deep, I have a profound gratitude for this congregation, for your personal encouragement, for your love of the truth, for your generosity, your love of my family. And as a result of that, I never want to hurt you or disappoint you. Do you see my point? We're going to be talking about gratitude primarily toward God this morning. Do you see the point? As a result of the deep, intense, profound gratitude I have for my wife, I never want to hurt her. I never want to disappoint her. I'm piggybacking off of Daryl's lesson from last week, ruling over sin, and Daryl's emphasis. And I asked a lot of questions this week of brethren about the lesson. Did you get the point? Did you hear it? And they did. They repeated back to me what the main point was. It's about your mindset. It's not about, like, denying yourself and separating yourself. That's good, but that's not enough. Daryl's point was, it's about the way you think. And so I thought, in view of Thanksgiving coming up this week, us being thinking about gratitude, that I would make the point, the continuing point, that if you're going to rule over sin, it's going to be because you don't want to hurt God. You don't want to disappoint God. And the reason why you would not want to hurt Him or disappoint Him is because of your gratitude, as Greg was talking about during the Lord's Supper, your gratitude for what He's done for you. So the example, the best example I could come up with in the Bible, is this story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. We'll read that and then I'll talk about it a little bit. And we'll look at some principles about gratitude this morning. Luke 17 and verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So He's up north. Galilee's to the north. Samaria's in the middle. Judah's to the south. So He's right on the border there of Galilee and Samaria. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. They had to. They were required by the law to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and keep their distance from people. And they lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So obviously this is a a story that emphasizes thanksgiving, being thankful for the mercy and the grace that has been extended to us. And I think it's important for us to recognize just how significant the concept of gratitude is in our walk with God. It's foundational. And I go back to Romans 1 and verse 21, for although they knew God just by looking at creation, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then it goes on to talk about all of the sin that they engaged in. And the two points that are made here are they did not honor God or give thanks, which points to them as being foundational. Right? Foundational. Honor God and give Him thanks. And you can sum it all up that way. That's what we do. That's our relationship with God. We honor Him because of who He is, His majesty, His divine nature, His eternal power. He's worthy of our honor. And we give Him thanks for all that He does for us. It's foundational. Gratitude is the root of our relationship. James 1 and verse 16. We usually quote verse 17, but I think it's important to acknowledge what James is saying right before that. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Don't think wrongly about this life. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Don't be deceived. You didn't earn it. It's a gift. Every good thing that you have enjoy is a gift from God. You see, gratitude is the root of our relationship with God. Romans 12, I think, is interesting. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then in verse 2, to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There's a couple of things in there, of course. First of all, by the mercies of God. The appeal is for them to think about the mercies of God. And then, and upon that basis, offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. So again, do you think gratitude is important in ruling over sin? Present your bodies a living sacrifice is motivated by a heart of gratitude for the mercy of God. And so the flesh cries out for satisfaction, and the mind says, no, I'm grateful to God for the mercy He's shown me, and I'm not going to let sin rule over me. I'm going to submit to God. And I tell you, that's what happens when we sin, is that we forget. We don't care. We haven't been focused. If we were focused like we ought to be on gratitude for the mercy and grace of God and recognize that every good gift comes from Him, and we were to have that deep, intense, profound, all-consuming gratitude for the grace and mercy of God, we would never hurt Him. We would never disappoint Him. And I mean what I said earlier. I really, really, really don't want to hurt Jenny. Because I'm grateful to her. I love her. And you see how that needs to be the mindset toward God? Above all. Above all. Way above all. God is worthy of my gratitude. Deep, intense, profound gratitude. So you come to this story here, and you see these 10 lepers who are absolutely helpless. They have an incurable disease. It's going to cause them to die. They are isolated and separated from the entire culture around them. They're absolutely miserable, and they're helpless to do anything about it. Every one of them understood that. But only one turned back. who turned back to respond to Jesus' grace and mercy. The Samaritan, the one who was not supposedly able to know God like the Jews and was not spiritual like the Jews. And it was the Samaritan who turned back to God, because the implication there is that the other nine were too what? Too prideful? Too self-righteous? They didn't turn back to show gratitude. I don't know all the reasons. You could probably, in fact, I was doing some study on this and I came upon a list of like 15 reasons why the nine didn't turn back. Probably true, some of them. I didn't know. Some of them were a stretch. But we don't know why they didn't turn back, except from what we know from the Scriptures. Probably at the root of it all was selfish entitlement, pride, self-righteousness. But there was one who turned back. And what was his number one desire? What was his number one focus when he turned back? Praising God with a loud voice, he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus and gave him thanks. Deep, intense, profound, all-consuming gratitude for the mercy and grace that he had been shown. And of course, we understand the metaphor. Leprosy is a type of sin. So you and I are all lepers. And we've been brought near. We have been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins. We've been brought near to one another. We've been brought near to God. We have family. We have love. We have peace. We have joy. We have encouragement. We have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are lepers who have been cleansed. And so let us turn back and fall on our face and give with a loud voice praise to God for His grace and His mercy. And then with that kind of depth and profundity of thanksgiving and gratitude, we will not want to hurt Him. And that will allow us to rule over sin. It's a mindset. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind. Thinking about what God has done for you, so that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His faith healed him. That's what Jesus said. Go. Your faith has made you well. How was his faith expressed? Because faith is always expressed. Faith alone is dead. How was his faith expressed? In gratitude. In profound, deep, intense, all-consuming gratitude toward the one who made him well. That's where the strength comes from, the power comes from over sin. And just as a point in passing, Jesus uses the same word for resurrection when he says, "Arise and go, your faith has made you well." And I thought, I wonder, is there some connection there to the idea of us arising from the dead? The leper was as good as dead, but now he was cleansed. He could arise from the dead and go and demonstrate his faith for the rest of his life through gratitude and thanksgiving toward the one who made him well. Purpose, meaning to life. I'm grateful to God for what he's done for me. I'm going to serve him all the days of my life. And so you see the emphasis in the scriptures. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5. So walk in Him, in Christ, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. And then he goes on to talk about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so these scriptures simply emphasize the point. It's the root. It's the foundation. It's what gives us the strength to serve and worship and praise God, our gratitude. In prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. I find that interesting because oftentimes when we're the most fervent and earnest in prayer is when we're lacking something. And the emphasis in the scriptures is, yes, cast your cares upon Him. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, the peace of Christ, that surpasses understanding, will rule our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus with thanksgiving. And so remembering what we have been given. And so Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4 about the grace of God, which has gone forth and has been manifested and supported and helped by them in Corinth. And it has produced thanksgiving, and he prays that it will increase in thanksgiving. So again, just an emphasis in the scriptures on gratitude, on thanksgiving as the foundation of our relationship with God. And so what's lurking behind ingratitude is indeed our selfish, entitled mindset. And we have a selfish, entitled mindset dominating society and culture around us. Does it dominate us? It must not. We must overcome that selfish, entitled mindset that we deserve all of these good things that we're enjoying in life. We don't. They're all a gift. And who is giving that to us? And so should we not be grateful then? And let that be deep and intense and profound and all-consuming in our lives so that we will not hurt the one who gave it to us. We won't disappoint him. And so, finally, as we look at the Samaritan falling on his face at Jesus' feet and thanking him, I'm going to look at this from a negative point of view. By failing to set our mind on God's grace and mercy, which I have been guilty of and you have been guilty of, no doubt. By failing to set our mind on God's grace and mercy, we will be less of a servant of God. It's inevitable. We will be. And our calling, our highest calling, is to be a servant of God. To serve God in all the ways that God would have us to serve Him. We will be less because we fail to set our mind on the grace and mercy of God and be deeply, intensely, profoundly grateful to Him on a daily basis. There is power in the Word of God as it directs us to this foundation of gratitude. We will be less successful in putting away sin. It's just inevitable because the power to overcome sin is in the mind. It's how we think. And gratitude is an immensely and powerful motivation. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, recognize this is our motivation. Sometimes people are motivated to obey God and serve God out of fear. And certainly fear of God is a legitimate motivation, as Greg brought up this morning about the judgment. But perfect love casts out fear. God wants us to generate so much gratitude in our heart and in our mind that we serve Him so willingly, so faithfully, so eagerly, so joyously, so profoundly grateful for what He's done for us that there is no fear. So when we are not as grateful as we ought to be, we will be less successful in putting away sin. We will not fear like we should. We will not love like we should. We will be less patient and kind with one another. The second great commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves, will be less loving. We just will. Because gratitude is at the heart of developing that patience and kindness toward others, because we're grateful for God showing us patience and kindness. See how that's all in the mind. That's all working in the mind to generate in us love because of what God has done for us. We will be less involved in spiritual activities. I'm concerned when people are not involved in spiritual activities. I'm not the judge of that. I can't really discern how much you're involved in spiritual activities. But when I find out, or when I know, when I'm sure that someone simply isn't involved in spiritual activities, that's concerning. Now, what do you do about it? What's the root problem? You know where I'm going with that. What's the root problem? If you're more grateful, profoundly, deeply grateful for what God has done for you, you will be involved in spiritual activities. You will be seeking, eagerly, wanting, enjoying, being blessed by, because your mindset is right. By failing to set our mind on God's grace and mercy, we will be less likely to serve others, because gratitude for what God has done for us, and even for what others have done for us, is the root motivation behind service. So again, when people aren't serving, there's a problem there. They need to become more deeply, intensely, profoundly grateful for what God has done for them. And then they will be motivated. We frankly will just be less likely to give back when we're not grateful, though we have been given much. And you can't let a sermon on gratitude go without addressing the teenagers. Teenagers, be grateful to your parents. You're at that stage of life where you're really wanting to spread your wings. And that's good. That's normal. But be grateful for everything that your parents do for you. You're also at a stage of life where when you can challenge and cause difficulty more than any other time. Be grateful. Be grateful. And don't be focused so much on what you don't have. Be focused more on what you've been given. And then you'll be a blessing to your parents. And so it is for all of us, not just teenagers. But gratitude is the root. It's the heart. There is always, always, always. I chose that because I'm mocked for saying always, always, always. Something to be thankful for. All right, Thanksgiving's coming up. I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving this year, and that you remember God first and foremost. Now, before we close this morning, the men and I have agreed that what I'll do is introduce to you briefly this new series of studies that we're going to be encouraging all of us to participate in some way, shape, or form. Let me explain. In the past, we had small groups of people, usually new members to the congregation, new Christians or new members to the congregation. We started out very small. We had a series of Bible studies in people's homes. And so we had, I think, 13 lessons in a book, and people who were new to the congregation would be able to have an opportunity to get into other people's homes pretty quickly and get to know people, and they would engage in a Bible study together and share that good work together. So it would accomplish a number of different purposes. And we thought that was really good. Now, COVID came and slowed everything down. In fact, stopped it in its tracks to some degree. So what we did is we rethought the situation. We decided we didn't like the book we were using so much. And so I agreed to write some lessons. And so now we have this cover page that Melissa created for us. And the title of our new series of studies is Spiritual Principles, 13 Lessons to Build a Foundation for a Spiritual Walk with God. And here are the subjects. I don't know if you can read those or not, but the greatest commandments or commands, lessons 1 and 2, love. Love God, love your neighbor. Call to serve, the key to all relationships, submission, the privilege of prayer, how to read the Bible, growing to maturity, discerning good and evil, overcoming sin, respecting God's authority, accountability in the church, trusting God, and the changed life. Last three lessons are still coming, still being written, but we got plenty to start with. And so that's what we're going to do, is we're going to launch this. We got men who have agreed to be teachers, and some people who have agreed to be hosts in their home. And we want everybody to be involved in this now. We're not just saying this is for the new members here. And that's what we started out with. It was a great idea. Yes, that's important. We want that. But it's good for everybody. And so what the challenge is now is to get these groups identified. So you're going to be in a group, most of you are going to be in a group with a number of other Christians. And that group then will be like group 1, group 2, group 3, 4, and so forth, down through group 7. You might have 6, 7 people in a group. And so plan on maybe once a month having a Bible study in someone's home. And we want everybody to be involved, but we're not going to put everybody in a group, because a lot of the teachers need the flexibility of, they can't go with the same group week after week or month after month. They have to teach the same lesson every time they teach. So all the teachers will not be in groups, all their families. And some hosts, some people who regularly host these, will not be in a group because they'll be participating that way. But there may be others of you who are willing to host, even though you're in a group. You know, you're in a group, but you can host in your home, perhaps. So what you do is you just let the teacher know. The teacher will be the one who's responsible for coordinating each Bible study that happens. So he'll be reaching out to the group and trying to set up a time. Usually it'll be Sunday after services. That's worked well for most people. Sunday lunch after services. But it doesn't always have to be that. It can be any time that it works for the group. But I just want to emphasize, we want everybody to be involved in this. And that's a challenge. That's an organizational, logistical challenge. And no doubt we'll, you know, find our way through it. It may not always be perfect. You may miss a couple of Bible studies because of your schedule. You may not be able to get everybody at the same time. It's okay. And this is not required. This is not required in that sense. It's advised. It's an opportunity. It's something that we hope that you'll want to participate in. But nobody's requiring you. And so that's all up to you as to how much you participate. So I'm going to stop there, I think. And we'll get this launched shortly, next couple of weeks or so. You'll probably get contacted. And maybe a Bible study even set up in the next month or so. Or maybe waiting till after the holidays. We'll see what the timing looks like. But I'm going to pause there for a minute. And I'm going to ask some of the men, do you have anything to add? Any clarification that I might have missed? Okay. Good. All right. Well, if you have any questions, ask Darryl. Yes. Oh, yeah. That didn't get done. Are you going to handle that? Okay. Darryl's going to handle that in a minute. So before we close this morning, we're going to stand up and sing a song, and we'll have a prayer together. And if you're one who wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, we want to study with you. We want to talk with you. We want to help you to do that, if that's your will. Or if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need may be, we invite you to